God's Word comes to us this morning in the book of Genesis, chapter 45, reading verses 1 through 15. And if you'd like to follow along, you'll find this passage on pages 48 and 49 in the Pew Bibles. Hear the Word of God. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all of you and all you have, I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you've seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him."
Shall we pray? Lord God, may your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and may our lives bear fruit for the sake of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. In his name we pray. Amen. During Great Britain's colonial rule of India, Afghan rebels seized two English officers and imprisoned them. Throughout their time in prison, the two men found great comfort and strength in a prayer book they had been allowed to keep. They managed to borrow a pen and write of their sometimes brutal experiences in the margins, along with how those experiences began to shape their spiritual journeys. The final entry in the prayer book, Become Diary, Become Religious Journal, was written by another person, another officer, who wrote that the two had been led out, forced to dig two graves, and never seen again. 20 years passed before a remarkable set of circumstances eventually led to that prayer book coming into the hands of one of the missing officer's sisters. Reading the entries convinced her revenge was demanded. And the method she settled upon? She carefully gathered all the money she could from her accounts and her own needs, then forwarded it to the British hospital in India with these instructions: "Please keep a bed free in your hospital at all times for a sick or wounded Afghan, and use the money to take care of him until he regains his health. I am doing this in the memory of my brother who suffered so much at the hands of the Afghans and who died in their country. That story is found in a little book by Cornelia Lenn titled Peace Be With You, published by Faith and Life Press. Amazon.com says about the book, a collection of stories from history and oral tradition of persons whose lives exemplified Christian doctrines of peace, even when confronted by violent circumstances. This particular story is the story of Captain Connolly and his sister. But I'm wondering if this might be a troubling story for some of you. When I first read it, it was troubling to me on one level because of the precedent it may set. Do wrong and get rewarded. Or on another level, because of the deterrence it undermines. For if terrorism is met with forgiveness, what will keep the terrorists at bay? But perhaps most disturbing of all is this. If I had been in that woman's place, what would have been my revenge? Would I have written the check to establish a hospital bed? Or would I have demanded suffering's repayment in kind? John Indermark suggests that we take the story of this woman and her revenge and place it alongside of the story of Joseph and his brothers and their reunion in Genesis chapter 45. And as we do that, we should bear in mind the wise admonition from St. Augustine. Trust the past to the mercy of God. Trust the present to the love of God. Trust the future to the providence of God. For if I understand both of those stories, they illustrate the deep wisdom and the spiritual power of Augustine's words. Trust the past to the mercy of God. I suspect each one of us knows some individual trapped in a past made inescapable by the absence of mercy. Some wrong done to them that was never forgiven, or some wrong which they did to someone else for which they could never find absolution. And perhaps it hits even closer to home. There's some dusty corner of our lives that we fear might get out into the sunlight, and we're reluctant to confess wounds that should have healed long ago. Surely the sister of the dead British officer had cause to look upon the past as an open sore in need of retribution. The same is true in the Joseph story. This morning's reading picks up the story at its very climax when the long-estranged brothers of Joseph are right there in front of him. The same brothers who cast him into a pit to die of heat and thirst. The same brothers who had at least a pang of conscience and hauled him out of the pit and sold him into slavery into Egypt. These same brothers come begging for food from a brother they aren't even sure is alive. It's a marvelous setup for Joseph to savor a moment of sweet revenge. However, like the officer's sister, Joseph chooses to trust the past to the mercy of God. And a past entrusted to the mercy of God opens the present to the love of God. Trust the present to the love of God is what Augustine counsels us to do. The love of God entrusted in this present day is, first of all, the love that God has given us. To recognize one's life immersed in the love of God is one thing. When family is close, friends are true, when our careers are rising, when health is unfailing, it's quite another to affirm God's love when we are in the midst of suffering and struggle and estrangement and loneliness and crisis. For then love requires faith. and faith must take risks. Even then, there is more to trusting the present to the love of God than just saying out loud that we are loved by God. It's hard to love others in this present moment when we have not yet let go of past resentments. That's an odd thing about the past and the present. It seems that until you deal with those things in the past, you can't really live fully into the present. We're frozen. We're stopped in our tracks unless we resolve the past. Again, look back at the two stories. By his willingness to forgive, Joseph stands ready to renew his love for his brothers. In verse 5, he even suggests a providential hand in their previous treachery toward him. Listen to this verse. This is astounding. It's verse 5. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. The setting aside of resentments and the past enables the healing of Joseph's long-estranged family. A similar act occurs with the officer's sister. Mercy applied to the past enables love expressed in the present. But it doesn't stop there. Trust the future to the providence of God, says Augustine. You see, faith doesn't consist entirely of the old story of looking back. It's not entirely fulfilled when we put those words into practice with acts of love today. Faith leads us to consider the future and what lies ahead. Joseph came to understand it had been God's providence for the future that had guided the twists and turns of his life all along. After Joseph's father, Jacob, died, Joseph's brothers were afraid of Joseph. This is what they said later in the story in chapter 50. My brother may hold a grudge against them for all the wrongs they did. Apparently, they had never let go of the past. They came before Joseph. They came begging, this time not for food, but for a future, that they would survive and live into the future. Don't be afraid, said Joseph in chapter 50. Am I in the place of God? You intend to harm me, but God intended it for good. Having known God's provisions for his life, through every weird and troubling experience, Joseph is able to trust the future to be a place of provision, providence, not vengeance. And think of how the act of the officer's sister affected the future. It affected not only her future, but the future of an Afghan enemy wounded and ill. They found sanctuary and healing from her hand, a hand that might have easily have paid for revenge against her brother's killers. That is why her action reveals an extraordinary faith in God's providence, and it leads to a future that can be different, that can be changed. What's the explanation for this? Let's think about it. Conventional wisdom wages war to eliminate one's enemy from the future. Diplomatic wisdom negotiates peace to deter one's enemy in the future. But God's wisdom counsels love of one's enemy so that the future is changed. In light of Joseph's example and the example of Captain Connolly's sister, the possibilities of a new future begins to emerge. We can affect what comes to pass in this world. In fact, whether you realize it or not, we do affect what comes to pass in this world. Every time we maintain a grudge, we allow the past and its errors to remain unchallenged and unforgiven. But when we lay to rest that which has been and no longer is, we create reconciliation and we make possible new beginnings, a future that is transformed by God. I love Augustine's simple little phrase, trust the past to the mercy of God, trust the present to the love of God, trust the future to the providence of God. Christian friends, practice these words from Augustine, and if you do, both you and the world around you will be changed. Amen.